So with that, I wanted to say a little bit about conditioning as we go into the afternoon exercise. You guys ready for some story time, or will that put you to sleep? Wei Wu Wei said, "Why are you unhappy? Because 99% of everything you think and everything you do is for yourself, and there isn't one." I was assigned to clean the outhouses, eight of them spread throughout the property, a bucket of cleaning supplies in one hand, a bucket of lime in the other. I headed off, albeit grumbling. I was a monk, so whether I wanted a particular task or not was irrelevant, deeply irrelevant. One of the gifts of being a monk is that whatever your task seemed to be wasn't what your task actually was. Yes, there's an expectation that the outhouses would be cleaned by the end of the work period. However, there was a much greater expectation that you'd be paying close attention to your experience as you went about your task, no matter what your task was. There was an understanding that you'd be practicing directing your attention to the present moment, noticing it when it wandered, and specifically where it went, then consciously returning your attention to now. I remember where I was on the cedar chip path, outhouse number one on my right, outhouse number two to my left, when I got it that the tape loop playing in my mind was just that, a tape loop. It dates me, doesn't it? If you weren't alive in the era when music was recorded on cassette tapes, hang with me here. What's great about the analogy of a tape loop, what's most significant is that the same songs repeat over and over. They'll play until you turn the machine off, the batteries run down, or the tape breaks. And on this blistering summer outhouse cleaning day, the voice of the conditioned mind was clear. If only it weren't so hot. If only I'd been given another indoor, or if only if I'd been given an indoor assignment today. If only it was Sunday. Sunday afternoons, we called holy leisure, were the only unscheduled times at the monastery. In a flash of insight, I got it that if only was a scam. I got it that if only implies that the external content of my life was responsible for my internal state of being. I recall putting the buckets down, hands on hips, pausing. For the first time, I recognized a pattern with the voice that had previously been in the background of my experience, like the background music in a shopping center that you don't notice until you do. I had recognized my internal dialogue before, the chatter that prior to awareness practice I had assumed was simply, quote unquote, me. However, I hadn't caught on to the pattern of the chatter. It's as though I'd noticed the songs were playing, but they felt familiar, and I hadn't noticed they were on repeat over and over and over. As the test of reality, one reason I value experience over theory is because experience can't be argued with. It's not debatable. No one will ever be able to convince me that any internal conversation that begins with, if only, will lead anywhere promising ever. If you haven't already, test it out for yourself. To be clear, there's value in an insight that comes in the form of a creative solution to a problem. That's not the if only I'm referring to, however. I'm referring to the voice of the conditioned mind that's continually asserting that you should be different, that life should be different, that if X, Y, or Z would change, then you'd finally be happy. This storyline belongs to the conditioned mind. When we first introduced the notion of the conditioned mind in our mindful studies classes, the one through Peace in Schools that I've been talking about today, we asked teens to describe what they thought the term might mean. Young people were quick to describe it as the mind of limitation, the mind habituated to think in a particular way, the mind that believes what we are taught. This is how I'm supposed to be. This is how life is supposed to be. So this continues on, but you get the idea in terms of an introduction to exploring our own process and the processes of the conditioned mind. Specifically, I wanted to acknowledge we're conditioned not to question our conditioning. That's why earlier today I invited you to look at how do you know these things are true? Where do you turn for that information? So today we're also focusing on not just personal conditioning, but also our collective conditioning. So consider for a moment how we collectively identify with if-only conditioning. Our capitalist structure is born of and thrives in an if-only environment. From a young age, we're conditioned to believe that if only we had fill in the blank, then we'd be happy. And this perfectly sets the stage for us to believe that our sense of self, our sense of well-being depends on objects. And by object, I mean conditioned standards, being my ideal weight or circumstances in general, how much money I have, the ideal partner, so on. This way of thinking assumes that our well-being is intimately tied to the content of our lives. Happiness is an outside job. So what I'm suggesting with this, friends, is that not only can we explore and unpack our individual conditioning, but that we can do that with our collective conditioning as well. And that's what this next exercise is exploring. And this is one that I like to refer to as fleshing out our conditioning. So again, you could do it on a note on your computer, or you could get your journal, but I will ask you to write for this one if you choose to. These are all optional. But with this next exercise, we're intentionally pulling what's been in the backdrop of our experience to the forefront. So we want to see what's been in the shadow. So this is important. I'm very intentionally asking you to not give me the quote unquote enlightened answer to what I'm about to prompt. I want to know what the conditioning is that sometimes is unseen. Does that make sense? Okay, great. Did it make sense, folks on Zoom? Okay, good. So these are prompts to get you started. You're just letting the first thing that comes up come up, you're letting the first things that come up, and then you're writing down without editing. What I love about an exercise like this with conditioning is it gets our conditioning an arm's length away. If you can write it down, there's some disidentification from it that's already happening. As I mentioned before, what we are unconscious to often silently governs us. The conditioning we can't see often is what's running the show, governing our decisions, influencing how we move, the choices we make. So, prompt number one. In order to be loved, I need to. You're just going with the first thing that arises. Trusting that. In order to be loved, I need to. And then moving on to the next one. During times of conflict, I should. And if you've read the book before and you've actually done this exercise, do it again and just see if it's different today. During times of conflict, I should. My parents always taught me that. It's the first thing that arises, my parents or guardian. Always taught me that. Finishing that one up. I deserve. I deserve. Finishing that up. I'll be comfortable when. I'll be comfortable when. I'm finishing that up. I'll be happy when. You will not be sharing these unless you want to. Be honest with yourself. According to the conditioned mind, I'll be happy when. Finishing that one up. I know I should avoid. I know I should avoid. If only. And you have to say it that way. If only. Other people would be happy if I. Other people would be happy if I. It's best not to. It's best not to. I'm usually afraid of. I'm usually afraid of. All right, three more. To feel successful, I need to. And someone pointed out to me once that their answer would change if it was to be successful, I need to. So you can explore that. You can see if that's true for you. Is there a difference between to feel successful, I need to? What would you say to that one? Or to be successful, I need to? The thing I should most watch out for is. The thing I should most watch out for is. And last one for now. I never seem to be able to. I never seem to be able to. All right, when you're finished with that, take a minute to go back over. See this as a map of your conditioning of sorts. And just look to see, are there any themes? What do you notice about what's there? And just to state the obvious here, you are not your conditioning. You are aware of your conditioning. So really look at it from the seat of awareness rather than this is me.